It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than a compromised election process. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I'm joined by Joe Curry.
Hello.
And Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
On the show, we'll be talking with Election Inspector for Orange County Board of Elections, Tim Tate, about some concerns about our voting process, scamming scammers with Jane, a Dove soap ad angers people, and a mentally ill man goes on a shooting spree, which worked out really well for the show because we just talked about this last week.
Oh, so that makes us happy.
That doesn't make me happy, but, you know, it's nice when the news cooperates.
Oh, jeez.
What? I try to put a silver lining on things.
Oh, boy.
I didn't tell him to do it. I wasn't involved.
I understand
that. I'll save a seat for you in hell.
What? Okay. I assume it'll be in the back of the bus.
It's going to be a big comfy recliner on fire. There you go. Sit on down. Oh, thank you, Satan.
Like you could just call him by his first name. Who do you think you are?
Well, yeah.
Mr. Lucifer to you.
Mr.
He's obviously a very close pal. Well, and
that would explain some of his actions. There's a thigh that we need to talk to you about, Mr. Curry. Anyway.
Let's not discuss chicken now.
No, we won't. Anyway, so there are certain things that perhaps you should not say to your significant other for keeping the peace, I suppose. Mm. There's either, you know, the honesty. Do you guys believe tell them everything?
No.
Joe?
No. Well, yeah, got to be honest.
If somebody wasn't listening, Joe, give us the answer. give us the answer pre 2 years ago when your world changed.
Well, honesty is the best policy.
He can't even
Sucker.
Look at me.
Sucker. Yeah, look at him. His leg
is... restless leg?
No, it's sciatica, stupid.
Uh-huh.
No. So there's some things, just say...
Things you don't say.
Yeah, we'll go through them. I have a feeling Mrs. Curry over here might give different answers than we were expecting.
Well, the funny thing is that my estranged wife, we're trying to go over our life insurance policy. We don't know whether to renew. If I'm going to keep have different beneficiaries, but we were talking about. We were just texting, and she wrote back to me. She goes, "It's nice that we could be civil to each other, finally, you know, with things." And I'm like, "Of course we can. We haven't seen each other in 4 months. We don't know where each other's living. It's a marriage made in heaven."
Well, she did want you dead at some point, so I would expect you to have this conversation again.
I think it is completely stupid to tell somebody, like a significant other, "I don't like this about you, this physical trait."
Ooh,
but there are guys that do that.
Oh, yeah.
Because they want to, like, you know, tear down their woman to make her feel insecure about herself.
I could never do that. There were some physical traits about my the estranged one that...
Well, of course, that's what this will all pertain to, Joe. We understand.
Yeah, well, no, but still, I could just never tell.
You can't say your ass is the size of a movie screen. Well, it's going to start
has
a fight.
A physique of a bowling pin, but you can't say...
No, and she's not going to say you're hung like a pimple. I mean, you do.
She could never say that. That would be a lot.
Right. Anyway,
you're not,
because the Scots are known. Anyway,
you're not supposed to talk about that.
No, I mean, there's some things, a little respect, unless you want to hurt somebody. Unless you want to hurt somebody, but I never.
Yeah.
But you can't. There's certain things you can't take back.
No. If you throw that out, even in the middle of the most vicious fight, yeah, you're never getting that moment.
See, that's why I'm always thinking of the next fight ahead.
Yeah. Oh.
That's why I
and
don't.
And it'll
do
start with that comment.
No. But I'm thinking, you know what? This is going to cause more fights.
Oh yeah.
And I'm gonna hear a lot of noise that I don't want to hear, so let's not go down that road.
And we were recently talking about how much you hate camping.
Yes.
Which you would be doing, because
exactly.
The doghouse is outside.
Don't compare your current to your ex. Why would you ever do that?
Because you're stupid.
Death wish?
You know, you're stupid, but my ex was Mensa. Why would you do that?
Why? Yeah.
This has got to be for stupid people.
You do want to sleep alone that night, don't you?
Oh.
For several days.
Sometimes sleeping alone is nice. You can stretch.
Yeah. You and your ex are good friends. Well, good for you, but don't expect your partner to be as pleased.
Well, Joe just mumbled that, but yeah. Like, if you're, like, talking to your ex, and I'm friends with a lot of exes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I didn't really screw them over or anything.
Right. Or, it was more vice versa.
No,
I'm
just a fairly nice human being to people I don't need to deal with anymore. People I don't need to deal with anymore.
Oh, sorry, I missed that
part.
No,
but I mean, there's no need. I mean, I could understand why the honesty, if there's nothing to hide, you would tell them.
Yeah.
But why put that insecurity in their head?
No, it's just kind of, there's some things you just don't. You just don't.
No. Although Joe just said on the air that he's talking to his ex. So that might cause him some problems later.
Well, not talking with my ex. I got a text from her this week. I got a text from her 3 weeks ago in regards to the dining room table that she saw. We don't, believe me, we don't text at all. The least we could see each other or hear from each other, the better.
At least for the purposes of this show. Anyway.
Wait a second.
True.
Hold on. Texts about forms. Ooh. Sexy stuff.
Yeah, that's what it is about the life insurance. What are we gonna
do? Sorry, I'm still fanning myself. Ooh, texting about
forms.
You should.
I'm going
to
light you on
fire
if you don't stop. Fantasizing about somebody else. How does that ever come up?
No. No.
You know who I was banging in my dream. How does that come? Do you talk about that before or after morning coffee? I don't understand.
That's crazy.
Are you that groggy when you first wake up that you do not know that you're just about to like pull the pin out of a grenade? No. Yes. No,
I guess some couples talk about that.
No,
but like some some couples have their the one person, the one get out of jail free card.
Yeah,
but I think that's the same thing.
Yeah, but that's hypothetical. I mean,
it's not. I would make it my neighbor, not hypothetical.
Well, you can't do that. You're
making
a movie
sitting
star,
in studio.
You
know, I would not talk about that.
You're gonna be a movie star you've never seen in years.
That's why you got to make your sister. If you're gonna make it, you make it somebody attainable. What's the point of making it somebody you'll never see?
That's how you keep your marriage. Is you make it somebody unobtainable.
Well, you keep your marriage by not discussing it.
Well, that's even better.
But sex is not as good as before. Like, if things are full, I guess that's a conversation you need to have, but it's a hurtful conversation. I mean, if you're in a relationship, I guess you can have that conversation. I think you need to have that conversation.
You do, but you have to tread very lightly.
It's not a fun time.
Oh, God.
The children have to be out of the house, and you have to, and somebody's going to be depressed for quite some time.
Yeah.
It's not good.
No.
You don't like their parents. I had that conversation. Usually it was the parents that like me for a while.
Right.
I had that.
Can you blame them?
What?
Can you blame them? That was a cute little smile.
Yeah,
that was
funny. Joe plays with a little ball of thread over there, like a little kitten. Having a good time?
Devin made this, you're my frenemy face.
I think you could bring it up, but you can't say that they're a scumbag.
No. You could just say, I wish... You can couch it in, I wish that they liked me better, or I wish that conversation went better or something. But you can't say, what low lives you came from. I mean, don't.
Even if they are, you can't.
You can't,
Even if they're complaining about them, you really shouldn't say anything.
Well, just look at the actuarial tables and figure how long you might live and how many uncomfortable Thanksgivings you have to go.
But what do you do if they're like, my dad abused me? What do you say? Do you agree, or you? I think you just hold them.
You hold them and you
listen.
You don't say anything. You'd be supportive of them. You don't say anything about the parent. You know, you have to do.
Your taste in porn. I had a girl that I was with back in the day, back in the VHS day.
Okay.
Where when you had to go and actually rent the video instead of streaming it. Well, we would go in and rent stuff together.
Oh,
this
was
a long time ago, but it was the era of the squeaky door.
You feel like, hey, dead nibbit, I'm looking for some pornography now. What you got over there?
Well, please go behind the
door.
I
think that's a spittoon, Joe.
Well, how come my boots are sticking to the floor? Well, I don't know what's going on here.
but as I've gotten older, that's harder to talk about.
Really?
Yes.
Well, now, would you use it as a segue into something that you would like to perform at home? Like, I like this kind of form.
I just was on AOL, and this popped up. What about you, your friend, and the dog?
Oh,
I saw this. I thought this might be something to do on a Friday night when I'm off. I mean, how do you bring... Segue.
Yeah, right. Well, I meant, like, if you had something and something was happening in the movie and go... Hey, that seems kind of cool. Do you ever think about trying that?
You're already at the point. You're at the point where you're watching with them.
Yeah.
See, look at the maid, and you complain she doesn't do windows. Look.
I don't want to know what that
meant. Did you discuss your taste in porn, Joe?
No.
Your past cheatings.
Whoa. Oh, no.
But you know what? That happens a lot when you're getting to know somebody.
Yes.
When you don't really think they're going to stick around.
And you don't think they're going to use it against you.
I think you're a lot more honest when you don't think they're going to be there.
Right.
That's a problem.
Yeah, yeah. Don't do that.
You got nothing to lose. You're just opening up.
Start lying. Start lying from the get-go.
Excellent advice. Lie from the beginning.
Lie from the beginning.
So you don't have to lie later.
You don't get caught in that uncomfortable honesty.
Exactly.
Don't. No.
No. Listen. If you cheated, you cheated. But don't tell them.
No, because now every time you're in that situation, they're like, aha!
Oh dear. You know? Oh dear.
Exactly. And when they ask you outright, go squirrel and run out the door.
You know, I mean, like if you had the hots for the local librarian, every time you want to go to a library, even if it's with your kid, aha!
And the last one, snooping through their phone. I've never snooped. Have you snooped?
No.
Have you snooped?
No.
No.
Been tempted.
Mm. Oh, sure.
It's a tempting.
Sure, it's
treat.
Tempting, but it's so, you don't.
No.
Don't. You're,
and certainly don't tell them.
You're going to lose their trust, or you're going to find out something you didn't want
to
know.
But by all means, make sure you have their code to get in case you need it. All right, we'll be back.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
We are joined by Tim Tate. He works for the New York State Elections Board. How are you, Tim?
I'm doing well. Thank you,
Dave. Works for Orange County as an inspector. You inspect elections.
I am an election inspector, yes.
What exactly does that mean?
It means I sit at the polling site from 6 a.m. till 9 p.m. on election days.
All day?
All day. We actually have to arrive at 5:15 a.m. and stay till about 9:15 p.m.
Ooh, that's a long day.
For some reason, New York's polls are open from 6 to 9.
Well, because we don't have early voting here, do we?
No, and I'm guessing it has something to do with the commutes that people face. They want to make sure people can vote before they get on the train or after they get off the train. But I think it's one of the longest voting days in the country.
So what are you looking for? What's something that would catch your suspicions?
Well, In New York, you don't have to show a driver's license. You don't have to show any ID when you come to vote. All you have to do is come in and you say your name, and then you give your address. And all we do is make sure that the name and the address is in the book.
Don't they take
which means
look, compare the signature too?
Right. First, we ask for the name and the address. Mm-hmm. And if it's in the book, then we have the signature recorded already, and then the person has to sign their name next to their signature. Only we cover their signature. So when they sign it, it's supposed to be a blind signature. So then we roughly compare the two signatures, and as long as they're pretty close, then we give the person a ballot.
I don't think it's ever been blind. I always see my signature right there.
Yeah.
Well, it's usually upside down because they're looking through the book, and then when they turn it around, they cover it. I've seen that.
We're supposed to cover
happen.
It. We actually have they include in the big package that we all get, they include this yellow piece of paper that we're supposed to cover the signature with.
The special official yellow piece of paper.
Right. You can't see
coming
that.
From yellow trees. In federal elections, do all states have the same guidelines, or does it vary?
It varies.
So even for a federal election, it's all over the place. There could be 50 different guidelines.
It is. It is, because each election has to be certified at the state level.
Do you think it should all be, for like a federal election, do you think it should all be the same?
No. No, I think it's up to the individual municipalities to determine what's best for, you know, their electorate. I don't have a problem with that.
Well, what could one state or county have for an electorate that wouldn't benefit another one? Like what could be like a policy that would be great for New York but doesn't work for Idaho?
Well, just what I was talking about earlier about having to show IDs in order to vote. I personally don't have a problem with that. I carry ID everywhere I go. I have no problem proving who I am. But for some reason, in some states, it's a big deal.
Well, they say because the poor people, they don't have driver's license, you know.
But the poor the folks that don't have a driver's license should be able to get an ID, which is comparable to a driver's license.
If they don't have a way of getting to the place, that's the argument.
You know, I mean, you have to show your license to get beer or to get a hotel room or something like that. But still,
ask the guy you met in the woods. He'll get you the beer.
Yeah, but still.
he's not asking for proof of ID.
He doesn't care. He's an anonymous person. But anyway, but still, something like that, you should have an ID. To show.
Now, the president claimed 5 million people voted illegally in the past election. Have you seen anything that would prove this right or wrong?
I personally voted illegally once. So
you did.
I know that it does happen.
Are you Mexican, Tim?
Show some ID right now.
Now, define voter legally. You weren't registered in the county, or
that's a good question because there's a spectrum mm-hmm. of illegality in voting. In my particular case, I had lived in Tennessee all my life, pretty much, and had moved to Indiana, and went back to Tennessee, and it just so happened to be election day, and I was still registered in Tennessee, so I went and voted. But technically, I was no longer a citizen of the state of Tennessee and should not have voted.
How dare you?
So
you're a rebel.
In that case, what happens often is somebody moves to the new state and they register there.
Right.
They vote there, and then they still registered in the old state. And
yeah, I have heard that. But who's doing that?
Why?
How many people are really?
I can't imagine 3 million people or 5 million people are doing that sort of thing.
But, doesn't seem like a lot of work.
But people are registered in more than one state, and that was one of the criticisms even of Donald Trump's cabinet, I think, some of his staff.
Yeah. I think Jared. I think Jared was like registered in a couple different states.
But I don't know how to get around that. I mean, are you supposed to like call the Board of Elections of your old state and say, take me off the rolls? You know,
they could spend money and clean up the rolls. They could do it.
I guess.
On a personal level, I just moved. I moved to another town now. Election day, if I go back to my, and I just moved 4 months ago. If I go back on election day and vote in my own town, is that okay or do I have to?
You're not supposed to.
Okay.
Don't break the law, Joe.
You're supposed to tell them that you moved.
Right. Have you done that yet?
No, not yet.
You probably should.
All right.
Is there still time?
To register? No. I think it...
You're screwed. You can't vote.
Pass.
Okay.
You ruined it.
Well, actually, I think you can. If you go back to your old polling station, at least this is the way it is in Orange mm-hmm. County, and tell them that you've moved, they'll give you, they can give you actual form that you would take to your new polling site. They can look it up by your address and tell you where your new site is, and you can go and still vote.
You going to do that?
If I have a chance to get out there,
that's
I might.
He's not going.
No,
he's
busy. No.
He doesn't have time for that. No. It's a Tuesday. There's no time for that. You're not even going to vote.
Got to be here. I will vote.
Why don't you get an absentee ballot?
I might. Let me look into that. This
whole voting thing is brand new as a young 18-year-old.
I just had the question clarified to me literally 30 seconds ago. You mind if I get a plan of action together?
Good thing Tim was here, because they haven't invented the internet yet. Good thing you waited for the show. It's such a pressing concern.
Ask an expert. Why not?
Because he's saying the same stuff they have on the internet.
Okay.
But now you've gotten it from Tim. You know what to do.
Very good.
We'll see you in 2020.
Well, because now he has a trustable face to recognize when he was talking about this. He didn't just look at a screen and trust that thing.
He looks at Tim and goes, this is not fake news right here. This is not the face of fake news. This is legit.
Would Davins then put fake news on? No, we only put a true news on. True information. Yes.
Or as it used to be called, news.
Tim won't lie to us. We're not in a relationship with him.
That's true. So they say hackings are increasing. They say there have been reports that our elections can be hacked. Have you seen anything that would indicate Orange County was the target of a hacking?
No. I don't see how that can happen. That would actually have to happen at the Board of Elections level, I believe, because there are several checks and balances in place to prevent somebody from... participating in some sort of voter fraud. For example, each action in the polling station has to be witnessed by a representative of the Democrat and a representative of the Republican Party. So, for instance, as I'm sitting at the table and someone comes up to sign their name and get a ballot, beside their signature, there has to be both the initials of a Democrat and a Republican representative.
But in New York, or at least in Orange County, we use paper.
Correct.
Are there other counties in New York that use the computers?
I'm not aware of that, but I don't.
What do you think is better, the paper or the computers?
Well, the paper's nice because there's a backup.
It got Florida in trouble, though, in 2000.
Well, and we have had a circumstance where, because it's a paper ballot, but then you put it in a machine, so it's a combination.
So the machine tallies
digital.
The vote?
Exactly. Okay. It's the machine tallies, but the ballots are retained in the event of a recount.
So if there's an indiscrepancy, you can go back and look at the paper.
That's correct.
Now, just the way things work nowadays, are the computer scanning machines more dependable than the old mechanical machines?
I don't know if they're more dependable or not. It may just be somebody thinks it's more efficient. Mm. Or again, we have the backup.
Mm. How are your Chads? They're okay?
Actually.
They're under control?
Actually, we have the number two pencil method.
Oh, I feel
so
much better.
Like taking the SAT.
Oh, I feel much better. I misspelled my name on the first PSAT, and and it came up looking like a boy's name, and I got recommendations to go to boys' schools. But anyway, I would probably not be able to vote properly if I have to punch holes in it.
We're learning a lot about you two tonight, aren't we?
Yeah.
So we covered a story a few weeks ago about how Indiana voting stations are being closed or having shorter hours in predominantly Democratic areas. Now the Republicans are in charge, so it seems like they're starting to target the Democratic areas. Have you seen either political party try and limit voter turnout to the other party?
I'm not seeing anything like that. And as a matter of fact, I'm still surprised on a regular basis how the Orange County Board of Elections trains people. It seems to bend over backwards to let people vote. It's like our job is there to help the voters vote as opposed to necessarily police the polling station. That's part of
it.
I like that.
You know, for a country that barely gets a voter turnout compared to other, you know, democratic nations.
I've always, every time I go vote polling place, I've always found everybody very helpful. Mm-hmm. You know, they have the map up there, and if you have a question, it's, you know, it's very efficient, very efficient.
So what now? What would you do if another political party came into power and started to try to limit? What is there anything you can do in your position? Or you just got to kind of go along with it.
Yeah, we're the low level, so we, you know, shit runs downhill.
So much for my prediction. So. Anyway, I guess I'll somebody be editing.
We do what they say.
There you go. That's nice. All right.
He's got a lot of extra time. It's no problem.
Anyway, I told a story about how one of my friends voted Republican in New Jersey in a predominantly Democratic town. And she was harassed by the women who were working the station. They started saying her name. And remember this? And
I don't remember this.
Yeah, I talked about it. And they were harassing her. Have you ever heard of anything like this before?
From the poll workers?
The poll workers.
A voter?
The poll workers were harassing a voter because she was in a Democratic town and she was voting Republican.
No, I've not heard of it.
And she,
like that.
So she called. I guess you would call somebody like yourself, and she complained, and they said, "Oh, we got to retrain them." That's not a sufficient answer to me. Like to me, that there should be no interaction like that. That person needs to, in my mind, that person needs to be fired and disciplined.
Yeah, and I imagine that would have happened if we had a waiting list for election inspectors, but it didn't.
Oh, yeah.
It's the opposite,
pretty
actually,
much taking
so.
Anybody
you
can.
You want to know something? Maybe, you know, maybe just maybe that their idea of retraining would be doing exactly just that.
I think she should be shot.
We actually
I think
have
that was the answer you were looking for.
That's the answer I gave. Often I find I satisfy myself the most.
In Orange County, we actually have mandatory training every year.
What's training?
We go sit in a classroom for an hour and a half and basically go over the whole polling process. And part of it is us being trained in how to, as I said earlier, police the polling station. For instance, if somebody comes in wearing, a political T-shirt, you know, of one party or the other, or one candidate or the other.
Make Hillary great again to confuse everybody.
then it's up to us to step forward and tell that person to, put a jacket on or turn the shirt inside out.
How about disrobe completely? No. That's not part of the training.
Now as
long as they don't like have a Trump tattoo on their chest or anything.
Now
that person rules you out.
That person would be the person working at the polls.
Somebody
coming in to vote.
It's coming in to vote.
Okay. Last question before I let you get out of here, Tim. Are there things that you find that Orange County or New York does better that some states should enact nationally? Do you feel like we are setting the standard on some things?
It's hard to say. I voted in three different states. Actually four. I voted in Tennessee, New Jersey, Indiana, and New York.
And three of those you voted in legally.
And
New Jersey was just for fun.
Why not? He was
Why
in the
not?
Neighborhood. Pop on in.
For a goof.
Goof.
And
let his hair down.
And I've actually had very pleasant voting experiences. So I don't think New York is necessarily better or worse than any other state.
I voted in Orange County. It's always been fine. I've never had a bad experience.
I never have either. You know, I don't know, you know, if some of this is being exaggerated by the parties or what this backstory is.
Well,
on
I would like early polling stations. I would like, you know, like sometimes they do in some states, they have it like a weekend a month, like or a couple weeks ahead of time where in certain areas we can go and vote. I think that would be better.
Make it easier for some people so they don't have to miss work or something to be able to get it done.
I think in that respect we could do things a little better. Get to do what you say, trying to encourage people to vote. Let's make it easier for them.
Make it more convenient, certainly, yeah.
Have there been shenanigans at the poll? Have you ever seen anything?
Shenanigans?
Not particularly, no. I've seen, you know, maybe a celebrity or two, and that's always fun.
Who'd they vote for? What was their name?
Where do they live? Do they have any good trash on the sidewalk?
It's a famous polka player in Florida, New York.
Poker or polka?
Polka.
Polka.
The Polka King.
Are there famous polka?
Weird Al.
People? Yeah.
Weird Al, that's all I got. I'm not really up on the polka celebrities.
He's going to do the Let's Vote Polka.
I don't know if our audience is really big on polka, but you never know. So you don't want to say who it was.
I don't think he would mind if I said who he was.
I think he's thrilled somebody recognized him.
I don't think he'd mind either.
You tell him who we voted for, where he lives. He don't care. He's like, you know who I am?
He's a multiple Grammy Award winner. Jimmy Sturr.
No.
Jimmy Sturr.
I've heard that name.
Yeah?
He plays around here.
Okay.
But because
no recognition
polka, where
for
else
me.
Is he going to play? you're not doing the world polka tour. But yeah, he plays at some of the local restaurants and all. That's why I've heard the name.
Right.
But
Polish places?
What? No, just restaurants.
I'll have to catch the next tour. All right.
Maybe you could open for him.
Gig's a gig.
A gig's a gig. You bring your little accordion, you're ready to go. Well, we've learned a lot, Tim. And we learned about Jimmy Sturr, too. Mm. So, any other questions?
That's fine. No, thank you so much.
Thank you. Answered a lot of things for us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Tim Tate. Thank you, sir.
This is Davin's Den.
We're back. Tim's going to hang out with us for this segment. We're going to do a little scamming scammers.
Your stories.
Your stories.
Your stories, dear.
Everybody hush. I'm listening to my stories.
My stories.
When we last left off, Jane, my girlfriend, was in jail. She'd been arrested the past couple of months.
Incarcerated.
Incarcerated. But she needed her king.
Oh, yes. To save her.
You're my king. I'm your what?
Finally, the respect I deserved, Jim.
It took a while, but you got it.
I don't know why you mock so.
Sorry, Your Highness. Mr. Hillocks expects me to call him that now.
Let's play our little intro. Hey, always and forever. Okay, so September 29th, 2017, Jane asks, when will you be able to help my king? Take notes. If you want me to help you, call me your king.
Okay.
She's doing a good job of schmoozing.
Sure. October 2nd, I answer because I'm on this.
Well, yeah. I mean, thank
Wait a minute. What was the first date?
September 29th. October 2nd.
October 2nd.
I answer. I think I'm more of a prince than a king.
That's your answer.
Humble. Yeah.
Wait, she's still
humble.
Cooling her heels in jail, and you're like going about semantics.
He's got a kingdom to run.
Yes,
I do. Thank you, Joe. October 6th, she gets back to me.
Wow.
She goes, "What are you trying to say, dear?"
Like the way everybody's getting around to things.
Yeah, I know.
There's no sense of urgency in this at all.
4 days later, it's like, what? They don't let you use the computer for 4 days? Yeah, were you bad?
October 9th.
July 3rd.
Because we're not on instant messenger anymore.
Right.
And I'm just not, you know, it's email. I don't check that account all the time.
Right.
You know, she's got other clients that are sending her money. Uh-huh. So, I mean, you know, we're not each other's top priority right now.
You're the long con.
But I'm still important enough that she keeps checking back in.
And you're still the king.
Sure, I am the king.
Mm-hmm.
I go, I think I'm more of a prince than a king. Nevertheless, I need the warden of the jail to email me to see if we can work things out and gain your release.
Oh, no. So now she's going to have to add an extra character to her retinue, and she's going to have to be the warden.
Or somebody should be.
Yes.
Don't you think that was a good move?
Yeah, I do, because if you're going to be cutting a check, you want to know who you're dealing with.
Sure.
Might as well get them on the
phone.
Can't
just, you know, exactly. Yeah. October 14th, she writes.
Wow.
She writes, "Dear, they won't allow that here to email you. This is Nigeria." What's that?
Yeah, and I'm supposed to know what that means.
Babe, please make this quick. I'm good to be here.
Please make this quick. It's been 3 days between emails. There's really no rush here.
No. October 16th, and then this is our last transmission. A week later, no, 2 days later, I go, "Honey, men need to talk."
Oh. Men are talking.
Wow.
Why don't you go make the men some coffee? Yeah. Huh?
That's going to get you a punch in the nose.
Not from her.
No.
I'm her
no,
king.
No.
"Honey, men need to talk. Surely the man in charge of the jail knows this. Have him contact me. And don't worry your pretty little head."
Oh, that.
Wow.
Sure, he knows, because he's misogynistic, too.
Sure. Yeah. That's what I'm banking on, because this is Nigeria.
Yeah.
Right. He'll get that.
We've never met misogynistic fake Davin before.
No.
We've met pornographer fake Davin.
Yes.
And
yes.
This fake Davin has mental illnesses. And
and we've met alcoholic and shooting out the television fake
sure.
Davin before.
Yeah.
But
this is another side, though, we've never
yes.
seen. It concerns us.
It's misogynistic fake Davin.
It's chauvinistic fake Davin. You don't hate women. You just don't respect them. No.
Well, I might hate her.
You might hate. Well, I think that you should. But she's trying to scam you out of money. But I
no, I'm her king.
Of course,
a
you
little
are.
Respect.
Sorry, yeah. Your Highness.
Thank you, Joseph. Finally, the respect I'm accustomed to.
Yes, my liege.
A little less talk, a little more action. What? I never heard that before.
He's got a clean bra. He's showing respect. He's everything I'm looking for.
It's
in a
almost raise time.
Oh no!
Reviews are up.
I mean, sure, he doesn't show up here on time, but he shows up. All right, so we'll see where this takes us. We'll see if there's more.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
A little racist music to start a racist segment. Well, I don't know if it's racist, but we'll discuss. So Dove created a soap ad for their liquid body wash where a black woman lifts her shirt, go on, and then becomes a white redheaded woman, and then becomes a brunette. I don't know if it was like a Latina brunette. I couldn't tell, or an Italian brunette.
I was not really sure what her ethnicity was, but she was more like cafe au lait.
Yeah,
like,
either Italian or a Latina. I'm assuming
I'm not
a Latina.
Sure.
I don't know what she was. The internet was outraged and claimed racism, as if to say the black woman was washing the black off.
Oh, dear.
Dove apologized and said an image was recently posted on Facebook missed the mark in representing women of color thoughtfully. We deeply regret the offense it caused. And then this is some of the responses they got from the outrage. What exactly were y'all going for? Can't we even use proper English in our outrage?
I'm sorry, internet commentariat, and you're complaining about how they write?
I guess.
Have you read the internet?
I don't.
No, okay.
I just try to get my voting information from there, unlike some people. What exactly were y'all going for? One self-described Dove consumer said on the company's Facebook page. What was the mark? I mean, anyone with eyes can see how offensive this is. Not one person on your staff objected to this? Wow, we'll not be buying your products anymore. On its website, Dove touts the Real Beauty Pledge, a vow to feature real women of different ages, sizes, ethnicities, hair color, type, or style. They're actually fairly progressive with their ads. Now, there is a history of soap companies, you know, using purity and white for clean. There are racial overtones.
There were very racial ads in the past.
In the past. As recently as 2013. But not by Dove.
No. No. These are old companies where they actually show, like, black people being dipped in a soapy water and that part of their skin turning white.
Well, Michael Jackson, you know, believed it.
He proved it.
Exactly. But no, in 2013, there was another company. I don't know if it was here that did something. Like the Purity of White was their ad.
Yeah, which...
So the soap industry is not clean when it comes to this.
I see what you did
but
there.
But Unilever's been pretty progressive.
Yeah, I would say.
If, I don't know. If I didn't know there was a controversy about this, me personally, because I saw the ad, it would not have struck me as racist.
It wouldn't have struck me at all. It wouldn't have struck me at all as racist. As a matter of fact, the African-American woman that was in it didn't feel it even struck her as racist. And she was the woman in the ad.
Well, she's cashing a check. She'd like to cash more.
But still, I mean, you know.
You know, if they had just stopped it with the redhead, like if they had gone from the African-American woman
right.
to the redhead,
yes.
I would see it. I could go, okay, what are you doing?
I was reading online, actually, and there was a diatribe written by an African-American woman. And what was the illustration for that article was a still from the ad that showed the black woman turning into the white redhead.
Right.
And if it just stopped there, yes, I could totally see her point. But it continued on and went out to another woman. And it's just, what are you trying to say, people that are complaining?
Yeah, and I don't even, there wasn't their attempt to, you know, be racist. And to think about it, if you're in a meeting and you're doing that, you know, you're going over the run, the only thing that if you're going to really critique them, maybe they should have the African-American woman last.
Could do that.
And had it there. But do you think in a meeting when they're going over this that would really cross their mind?
Well, maybe it should. I mean, they know the history of soap ads.
Right.
They know there is this racial tension from previous soap ads. Maybe somebody should. And you know the environment we live in now, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody should have said, you know what? Let's flip the script on this. Let's flip the order of this. We're going to keep these three models. Let's just have the African-American woman in the middle or have her go last. Maybe she shouldn't be the first one, I guess.
Or maybe they thought first one to show, you know, to have an African-American prevalent at the beginning of the commercial. You know, there's always to go.
The woman turns back to the African-American. I don't know. But I do agree. I don't know what the point of this was.
Well, it was like that soft drink commercial that they had where it was all inclusive and it was all sorts of different ethnicities and stuff like that.
Sounds awful.
But the thing about it was that they caught flack over
was that the Kylie Jenner one?
Yeah, a very...
No, they caught flack because it was like all these world problems and she's showing up with a Pepsi.
Oh, no. It was because she was, during the time, the big discussion was Black Lives Matter.
Right.
And there was a row of policemen and she was going over and choosing to hand the soft drink over to the police, which some people interpreted as she was choosing a side.
Maybe she just wanted to give her venereal disease to the cops.
Yeah. But it just seemed that it was a very inclusive, you know, middle-of-the-road, milk-toasty commercial that, in my opinion, could really offend no one. And holy smokes, did they catch flack over that.
The timing of that one was poor. But
I don't know. Should somebody be fired for this ad? Because it's costing them a lot.
You know what? I think that sometimes people just turn something that is innocent into a political argument. And I hate when that happens, only because there are so many instances of racism. And if you have people arguing about even the slightest, tiniest perceived insult, it waters down
right,
their argument.
Right. And where does it end? Where does it end?
I think this hurts the left. I agree with you. I think there are plenty of places where we can pick our battles.
Oh, yeah.
This is not the biggest one. I mean, you got to know the history of this company.
Right.
How progressive they are. You got to pick your battles, left.
I would hope.
Yeah, there's plenty of racism
to
fight. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll be back.
This is Davin's Den.
This is Davin's Den.
So as I alluded to at the top of the show, sometimes the news cooperates and awful things coincide with our show.
We love it when that happens.
Well, certainly do. So last week we were talking about Vegas, and I was talking about some of the laws that Italy enacts, and we started talking about how the Trump administration repealed an Obama administration law that prevented 100,000 U.S. citizens who were deemed mentally ill from getting guns. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think the ACLU argued as well that you're denying these people their rights. So now these 100,000 people who are mentally ill can get guns. And as luck would have it, we have a news story.
Yeah.
So a mentally ill man in Florida who died after a gunfight with cops had just gunned down his mother's friend for making a move on his, wait for it, imaginary girlfriend.
Oh, jeez.
Brian DeSaro, a 30-year-old man with a history of mental illness, fatally shot David Armstrong, 56, after accusing him of making a romantic pass at his non-existent lover as they were inside a garage in Port Richey on Thursday, the Tampa Bay Times reports. The suspect's mother and her boyfriend were also in the room at the time of the shooting. Please note, Brian does not have a girlfriend, Pasco Sheriff Chris Nocco told reporters during a press conference. In his mind, he did, but in reality, he didn't. Nocco said DeSaro accused Armstrong of messing with his girlfriend before pulling out a gun and shooting him. DeSaro then went into the home to get another gun and shot Armstrong again, killing him, Nocco said. DeSaro's mother and her boyfriend fled to a neighbor's house, and DeSaro headed to Gulf Island Drive, where cops found him standing in the middle of the street. An absolute gun battle in the middle of the street erupted between cops and the suspect before he managed to run back home, where he was known to have a gun collection and a stockpile of ammunition.
Yay!
A sheriff's office robot later found DeSaro's body. It was not clear if he killed himself or died of shots fired by the police, none of whom were injured during the gunfight. Armstrong's body was found inside his garage. Deputies are now working with federal authorities to find out whether DeSaro was a legal gun owner or not. I still don't know. I tried to get an update on this. I haven't gotten an update on that, so I don't know.
Right.
So, you know, like I said, we talked about this last week. To me, this is a textbook case of why mentally ill people should not be allowed to get guns.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Well, I didn't do anything. But
for saying that, because I think that it's ridiculous to say that we're protecting their civil rights by allowing them to have guns.
We're keeping them alive and other people alive.
And other people alive. It's like you're not allowed, felons are not allowed to own firearms. So, but we're going to have people who are noted and like, sometimes self-describing as emotionally unstable people. We're going to give them firearms? That's great.
Once imaginary girlfriend comes into play, perhaps we should move the weapons and sharp objects.
Yeah, you'd think. Well, I mean, I'm speaking from the standpoint of a daughter of a mentally ill person. I would be terrified if my mother had the ability to get firearms, because there were sometimes, particularly when she was younger, before they changed her medication, that she could have real emotional outbursts. And the idea that she would be able to have a weapon of that magnitude, a gun, and when she was going through one of these delusional states, is terrifying. What, she was not in control of herself. She was not seeing the real world. She was hallucinating. And this guy obviously was, because he conjured up a girlfriend that didn't exist. So if you have people who are not dealing on the same plane of reality as us, why are you weaponizing them? Why would you even think that this is reasonable?
Well, on a, you know, basically it's kind of a generalization where, oh, well, anybody with a sense of mental, you know, mental unstableness shouldn't have a gun. There was an article, you read it and I read it. Unfortunately, we didn't bring it with us.
Right, it was one guy who was diagnosed as mentally ill who was arguing,
making a statement on that. Now, the thing about that is that if you're going to be that mentally unstable and you are out to kill somebody, you're going to use anything that you can to
He wasn't out to kill somebody before this happened, before he imagined somebody was messing around with his imaginary girlfriend.
Could have grabbed a bat, could have grabbed a kitchen
knife. It's a lot harder to kill somebody with a bat than it is with a gun.
Well, you know what? Then you could sit there while somebody's bashing your brains out.
I'll tell you what. You don't have somebody throwing bats at the cops when they come to arrest you.
Well, I guess that point. But however, you know what? You go into a store. Let's say you go into Home Depot and they have an axe, or they have this.
This was a spur of the moment thing. He knew where his guns were.
But you could, and a spur of the moment thing. Do you know where your kitchen knives are?
Yeah, and I can't. It's got a lot harder for me to stab you multiple times.
But you could do it. You could do it.
But it's harder.
But you want to know something, but you can do it.
You could do it. I could kill you with a paperclip and I'm tempted. But it's harder.
But your
excuse is it just makes it easier. So there's no reason to do
as you look at the Yankee game, as my reasoning is that
they won.
My reasoning is that there is a portion that may have mental illness on there, but it's on a case-by-case basis. Okay, you can kill somebody with a car in a case of rage. You could go into a Home Depot, kill somebody.
They found 100,000 people. I promise you, there's a lot more mentally ill people in this country than the 100,000 they found. For those 100,000, there was good cause to say you shouldn't have guns. So it's not everybody who's under mental distress or mental illness. They found these 100,000 people. I don't know their cases, but for whatever reason, they decided you should not have guns. Now, I don't know if this guy was on that list,
right?
But it strikes me as perhaps if you have imaginary girlfriends, maybe we don't want you to have a weapon stockpile. A stockpile.
Okay. Would you also say if somebody of that mental capacity should be able to get a license to drive a car?
Perhaps not. Because a lot of times you're not, because you have to take certain medicines that are hallucinogenics. A lot of times people with mental illness are not allowed to drive cars.
Well, they're not hallucinogenics.
They make you hallucinate. Some of the medicines.
No.
Yes.
What?
Some medicines, it reacts differently with people. Yes.
Okay, I haven't heard that, but...
Or they can make you groggy where you fall asleep at the wheel.
Well, that's
all sorts
true.
Of side effects. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Now, the difference is, to argue your point, gun ownership is in the Constitution. Driver's license is not. So there's the difference there.
That's a privilege, not a right.
Exactly. You're talking about a constitutional...
As they say in that 3-hour course.
Well,
no, but that's why if you're pro-gun, you would argue that it's a constitutional right, which is why I think the ACLU argued on your side for this. But yeah, no, I would say, no, you can't drive. You can't drive.
Well, here's the thing is that, yes, I could probably, if I tried hard enough, kill somebody with a nail file. But the thing is that, okay, let's go. Joe, hold still.
Stop squirming.
Will you hold on the other arm? He's wrestling.
She's got a clean bra.
No, the point is that would you say that it's probably harder to kill somebody by hand-to-hand combat, which is what you would be doing with a stick, an axe, a knife, whatever, than being able to stand across the room and blow somebody away scot-free?
I think that you would do just as much damage if you get to a person and
no, what she asked, she said, what's harder? What's easier?
What's easier? It's a draw, depending on the situation.
Well, I'm just saying.
If that was the case, we wouldn't have a military wouldn't fight with guns. They would just fight with sticks. If it was just all the same, and then we got guns. They go, well, this is a lot easier. Yeah. We're killing more this way.
Look at that! I don't even have to touch them and get close to them and kill them.
I think Joe would change his mind on this if, God forbid, a cop was killed in this. I think if a cop was killed in that shootout after this lunatic killed the other guy, I think Joe would have a different, because Joe's very pro-police. We're all pro-police here, but that's one of Joe's. I think Joe would have a different opinion.
Sometimes, you know, you see the police walking around like a Penn Station or something like that, and you say to yourself, if I was a lunatic, because you see the gun, you go, you know what, God forbid if some nut just came and tried to grab a cop's gun.
Yeah, but we're talking about this.
They're trained for that eventuality.
Yes.
They're trained to guard themselves against somebody grabbing the gun.
But I think you would feel like if it wasn't just an innocent guy, but if it was an innocent guy and a cop or a couple of cops got killed in this, I think you'd be a little bit more outraged.
It still boils down to the fact that if you are in the insane mindset and you are set to do something, you will kill somebody with whatever is available. No matter what, how quick it is, it's just several seconds difference between a knife or a gun.
Well, here's the problem with your argument, though. He used what was ever available. We'll say the gun was available. Mm-hmm. And then he ran to his house to get more. That wasn't available. He knew, hey, I got more of these.
Well, if you use them, got them. But, you know,
it shouldn't be available.
But that if he used a kitchen knife and he stabbed it, he could have ran and got another implement out of the garage and used that.
Like I said, if kitchen knives were so easy to kill people, we wouldn't need guns. We'd all be running around with kitchen knives.
We'd all be using spoons.
Well, if spoons were good, the cops would be armed with ladles.
I'm going to go upstairs and get the cutlery. I'll be right back.
Exactly.
I'm going to prove my point.
All right.
No one lives.
No one lives. Joe, anything?
Yes, I'm going to be at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club. I will be there Wednesday through Saturday. Shows start during the week at 8 o'clock. Friday show, 9 o'clock. Saturday show, 9 o'clock. 1-877-UNCLE-VIN for reservations and info.
Thursday, October 26th, Size Splitting Productions presents a live comedy at the River Grill in Newburgh, New York. For tickets, call 845-561-9444. Friday, October 27th and 28th, I'll be in Princeton, New Jersey at Catch a Rising Star. For tickets, call 609-987-8018. Remember, listen to full show unedited. DavinsDen.com, listen on iHeartRadio.com, listen on iHeartRadio. Follow us on Twitter at DavinsDen. Like us on Facebook, DavinsDen. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on.